Hello and welcome to All in Motion. I'm your host, Jake. Thank you to our guests and everyone for tuning in. This is episode 48, Love and Relationships Part 2. Our next guest is no stranger to All in Motion. This guest was on the first episode of the series, number 27, Dating and Relationships in Our Current Climate. If you have not listened, please make sure you check it out. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Juvio Mertel.
This guest has been on the show and just finished officially her dissertation. Juv, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
I actually graduated, so I actually just graduated, so which is great.
So you want to just share a little bit about the audience? We know you're exhausted and we've been trying to do this for a minute. Do you want to just share a little bit about who you are and, you know, what you got going on?
Sure. My name is Juvio Mertel. I guess I should say Dr. Juvio Mertel now. So I am a clinician. I'm a therapist and I am also teaching now. So I'm an adjunct professor now too. So I've been working in the field for over 14 years now. I have to like think about the time and kind of count it, but definitely 14 plus years. I started
and not to interrupt, but you served in prison as well.
I did. I started my therapy career at Limestone Correctional Facility in Alabama with male inmates. And I worked there for almost 8 years. And then I decided I wanted to go back to school for my doctorate, which is what I did. And even as I was working on my doctorate, I worked at a methadone clinic. I also worked at a residential facility for clients with substance abuse disorders. So that is my career. And so now this is the first time in my career that I'm working with children. So I'm mostly working with kids from like 5 to 21. I think my oldest client now is like 22 and my youngest client is 5 years old.
That's awesome. And then, you know, as we just roll right into it, then our last interview, people, you know, reached out to me as well. And they asked me, could she expand on love? And we kind of dove into it, but there are people that wanted more information. And how could love like be a skill? People would argue and say it's natural. Like if you don't chemistry or vibe with a woman, man, you know, want to be with, like, how could that be a skill?
Yeah. I do remember too, that you asked about it and other people did who listened to the last podcast, a few of them, they did kind of message me and ask me about that. How could that be? And so I had to message a few people, but I am going to answer the question to that. Now, I think love is somewhat of a complicated emotion for several reasons, but let me at least go into the answer of the question. Let me start here. So I believe love is the most difficult emotion, as I said, right? To describe and to make clear to people. Love comes with those good feelings. From the moment we're born, we need to connect, bond. We need nurturing. And I believe that love helps us to get it from our caretakers and give it to others. In our culture, I'm going to do a little history here, right? So in our culture, unlike the ancient Greeks, we look at love as an instinct. So we believe that we instinctually love, right? Bond, accept, and connect. in the United States, part of what it is being said about the way that we look at love is that we look at it like it's an instinct. It's like we believe that we instinctually love, which leads to connecting, bonding, right? In a perfect world, yes, I guess maybe love being instinct, we could probably deal with that. But that's not the world we live in, right?
You guess maybe?
I guess maybe.
Yeah, you said you guess maybe in a different world. You guess maybe.
Yeah, I guess in a perfect world, maybe love being an instinct would be something that would help us, but it's not. So, and this is what I mean. What I mean by that is that our world is filled with trauma and we pass them on. So, which makes it difficult for us to be able to care, have compassion, have intimacy, connect, and love. So we even have like attachment disorders, right? That has trauma at the underlying core. So if because of past trauma, I have difficulty connecting with others as a result of what happened to me in childhood, I can't trust others, and therefore cannot create intimacy with another person, this is grounds for a disastrous union or relationship. So coming to the love question, ancient Greeks described love with multiple words, right? The ultimate or highest form of love they described was agape. So, which to me is like unconditional love. So our concept of love.
Unconditional love. And then there's also not unconditional love. There's a different type of love. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. The ancient Greeks. Yeah. They had like four words. They had phileo. That is, of course, the brotherly love.
Right.
Then they have storge.
My mom beat me, right? So like, how could she have skill, do you think, in unconditional love? By like not giving up, in your opinion?
I think your mom learned parenting style from her parents that probably was not going to serve you. That's what I would say to that. The thing about it is a lot of times, and this is something that what tends to happen is parents often, Now, of course, this is a complicated issue, but I'll say this. Parents sometimes tend to think that whatever helped them will help their children because they often kind of feel like, okay, this is how I was raised, and this is something that helped me. This is something that benefited me. So I'm going to do the same thing. And not only that, we also talk about like, you know, social learning theory and how things get passed on. So what it sounds like to me, the way your mom was disciplined and whatever, how she learned about parenting, that's what she did. And she did what she knew to do. And that was the best way she knew how to do it. So, and no one was helping her to understand to do it differently. That's what it sounds like to me.
Oh, yeah, you're right. She's disciplined from her mother and father.
Yeah. So that's what it sounds like.
Like old school discipline. Like, yeah.
Right. That's what it sounds like to me. And the thing is, for many years, no one ever really challenged that. No one challenged really how parenting was happening. No one was challenging, you know, this idea of children being seen and not heard. No one was challenging children being beat and all. And within the Black community, you still hear a lot of people talk about beating their kids and all, and no one was challenging that. Now we're starting to challenge it, and I'm glad that we are. But yeah. So, going back to what it is that I was saying was our idea of love, it comes from this is someone, Alan Abadan. He wrote a book on romanticism, and he talks about how our idea of love, especially in the Western world, comes from the Romantic era, right? So now, not sure if I would suggest someone in a relationship with someone who's diagnosed with narcissism to love somebody unconditionally without nuance, right? Because I have to also say there's nuance to much more, a lot of what it is that I'm saying. But anyway, we'll move on. When I say love is a skill, it means that love and teaching go hand in hand. They work in tandem. Love is not endorsing all aspects of a person. No, but like I even mentioned earlier about the ancient Greeks, they believed in educating each other on how to love. When couples come to therapy, that is essentially what they're asking, right? They need to be educated on how to treat each other. They need to be educated about multiple things, but especially how to be in relationships, how to communicate, all of that. But at the right moment and at the right time with the right tone of voice, et cetera. For example, John Gottman, who is an expert in helping couples understand healthy and unhealthy habits in relationship, talks about criticism being one of the apocalypse leading to divorce, right? He also talks about stonewalling, the others he talks about. So basically, what I'm saying at the end of the day is it is about teaching. It's about educating one another. That's my point. I hope that answers the question.
Yeah. No, it answers the question perfectly. John Gottman is a very established American psychologist, professor of psychology at the University of Washington. His work focuses on divorce prediction and yes. marital stability through relationships mm-hmm. analysts. Yeah.
He and his wife actually have been working over 30 years and have done studies. And they made the claim, and actually their research is on point. And they are able to determine the couples, when they see a couple, if they will divorce or not, or the type of relationship that they have.
Personal life. John Gottman was born April 26, 1942, in Dominican Republic, to an Orthodox Jewish parent. His father was a rabbi in pre-World War II, Vienna. You know, he keeps kosher, follows Jewish dietary laws, and observes Shabbat, a day dedicated to religious worship. Over 3 decades ago, he married Julie Gottman, Nia Schwartz, a psychotherapist. His two previous marriages ended in a divorce. He has a daughter named Maura Gottman. That's it. That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Individuals that are either in a relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, or they're married. What, in your opinion, can they do, let's say, outside of therapy to get help and to really work through the issues that are preventing them to have a happy relationship, especially in the United States?
I think that's one of the hardest questions to answer right now, because it is so involved. But I would probably say that we need to really relearn what it means to be committed. We need to relearn what it means to really love. We need to relearn so many of these things. But additionally, I would say, and this is a quote that I am stealing from someone, have standards, have boundaries, have expectations. But we definitely need to relearn what it means to have healthy unions. And it has to start with us. We cannot continually think that I am coming, you know, in this relationship to get something. And I think that's a lot of the problem. And I'm including myself in this. I'm including myself in this. Because it seems as if all we ever want to do is come into a relationship to ask, what are you going to give me? Instead of asking, what do I give?
Wow. That's Edgar Allan Poe, right?
Is that Edgar Allan Poe? Is that what he says?
Sounded like you a little bit right there. Before his last breath, before I think you're flying. I heard the birds flying when you said that.
Oh, that's outside.
No, I'm just saying that was deep, man. I appreciate it. And what's your opinion on interracial dating today in our current climate?
I think that interracial, I don't often want to.
Not to cut you off, and not to be rude. This is nothing. Take yourself out as an educator, mm-hmm. and as a doctor. People could read about it and be like, "You shouldn't do that" in a book or a school. People teach that.
Some people do. Some people do. What do I think about interracial dating? I think that people should do whatever it is that makes them happy. That's one thing that I think. I do think that people need to know some of the problems they may encounter when dating interracially. I think that, and I also think that.
I'm not gonna interrupt you. What are problems? Like, what do you mean by problems?
Well, when I say problems, I mean, because I think anyone who is getting married or in a relationship with someone else, you have to look at, because especially as a clinician, as someone who has a doctorate in marriage and family therapy, I am constantly focusing on systems, right? Different types of system. We have social system, we have multiple systems, right? And so family system. So even two people who are coming together, who are in the same culture, they grew up in different household where different, so and they learn different ways of doing, they have different cultural values, different beliefs. So, and those things can create problem in relationship. Right. So if two people, especially we know the history, the racial history in the country, if you're able to come together and work some of those things out together, where we're talking about ability to communicate, share, all of that, and then deal with even still, because till this day we have racial tension, you got to know. These are the things that you may have to deal with and work through.
Right.
So that's what I'll say about that.
Why? And you might feel this way too. I don't think you do, but why do, and everybody in me in the audience wants to know, why do white women get mad when they see white men with black women? And why do, black women get mad when they see black men with white women?
I think it's in the same way when black men get angry when they see black women with white men or Asian. That is something that happens in every group. It's a human thing. It's a human nature thing. And I think a lot of times what happens is people kind of feel ownership of other people. They feel kind of entitled to other people because of different social conditioning. So that's part of the reason. So every group falls.
Yeah, but, you didn't answer the question. How do you feel about it? Not as a clinician.
How do I feel about it?
As an African American black woman, how do you feel about it?
How do I feel about
if you were walking on the street, you saw a black man with a white woman, or it could be right. There's no need to say anything. But like, how would it make you feel if you saw a black African American male with Caucasian woman, or
when I see it,
that would be you. You're the doctor. I'm just asking the doctor question.
When I see it, I look at, I don't necessarily have an issue seeing it. What I do think, though, is that there's a lot of historical issues that I don't think that I think contributes to Black men dating or marrying white women that they don't consider. And the other thing that, so I don't necessarily have a problem seeing it myself, but I do know, especially as somebody who does this, you know, who research all of this, I do understand some of the issues surrounding it. And this is partly why you will see that those unions don't last in terms of relationship, don't last as long, because they're multiple, it's layered, and there are multiple issues happening that I don't think that they look at or pay attention to or want to at least acknowledge that leads to these relationships not working out.
Thank you again, Dr. Martell, for that amazing episode in this series. Please make sure you all stay tuned. This is an amazing series that we have going. And ladies and gentlemen, make sure you please go to allinmotion.com and please make sure you subscribe to our emailing list. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jake in Scar City from All Motion. Take care and be safe.